Appreciate the prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers this morning. Find our text this morning in John chapter 5, verse 39. John 5, 39. Jesus told the Jews that he was speaking to on that occasion, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search the scriptures, for in them, the scriptures, ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus is pointing out on this occasion that the Jews certainly felt like that in keeping the law, in keeping the word of God, they would live eternally. Now, you know, we've got plenty of scripture in the New Testament which speaks about the grace of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being required. We've got plenty of scripture that shows us that it's not the keeping of the word or the law that brings righteousness. Keeping the law couldn't bring righteousness. But the Jews indeed believed that. And you know, we've got some mighty good friends and family and folks around us that, as a matter of fact, there's just no shortage of those in our world today who feel like that there's something they can do to obtain eternal life. Haven't you found that to be true? Isn't there an awful lot of people? You know, this, I would venture to say the vast majority of Christianity today feels like there's something that you've got to do to be saved eternally. But the scriptures clearly address that, don't they? And so I want to just begin with some of the scriptures that would cause the Jews to feel that way. I'll go back to mainly to the book of Deuteronomy and notice several scriptures there. But we find that the scriptures over and over and over. Now, when Jesus said, "Search the scriptures," obviously at that time, at that point in time, all we had was the Old Testament scriptures. Okay? We've got plenty of other scriptures now, don't we? Okay? As a matter of fact, we understand that God's word is complete, what we have now. So when we think about what were the Jews thinking about when Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." Well, if we would go back to Deuteronomy, and I just want to very briefly hit several of them. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I may read a few verses to kind of lay this foundation. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 1. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." Notice he said, hearken. Chapter 5, verse 33. "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." First he said, hearken, chapter 4. Now he says, walk in them. In other words, you've got to know them and then be able to apply it, right? That ye may live, okay? Then let's go to chapter 8, verse 1. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may be live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Hearken, observe, walk. You see, the Lord is essentially telling the same thing, isn't he? The same thing. All right? But he's using it, telling it to us in different terms. You know, have you ever experienced that? That sometimes you have to tell something more than once and maybe change it up a little bit in order for somebody to get it? Well, that's the way the repetition is in Scripture. That's the way it is. The Lord has told us his word many times, using different words, coming from a different approach, using different analogies and backgrounds and so forth, so that we can hopefully have a better understanding of what he's telling us is so important. So he said, observe. He said, walk. He says, what was it? Hearken. Hearken. We've got to hear it. We've got to know it. We need to apply it. We need to live according to it and take heed whenever we make choices. Use that as the basis for our decisions in life so that we can walk with the Lord. And each time in those three passages that I've already read to you, each time the Lord says that you may live. And so when we think about what the Lord is telling us here in the Old Testament, you can see, and I've got other scriptures. How about Deuteronomy 16, verse 20? Deuteronomy 16, verse 20. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. Here's another word, follow. That thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now each time we see that this, when he speaks of living, he also talks about inheriting the land. You know, after God brought his children out of the land of Egypt, he gave them the promised land. As a matter of fact, that land was promised for a long, long time, wasn't it? And can you see the comparison here between what God had been promising his people and how he ultimately delivered them into the land of Canaan and the blessing that it would have been to them? And if you continue to read in the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find that the Lord told them that if they would observe to do all that he commanded them, why, he would fight their battles for them. He would send the rain in its season. He would bless their fields. He would bless their cattle. He would bless their houses. He would bless their land. He would bless their cities. They would just be blessed and blessed. If they would observe to do, if they would follow, if they would walk in it, if they would hearken to it, if they would observe to do all the Lord commanded them, they could have had a heaven on earth, but not eternal life. Not eternal life, but it would have been a good life. And you know, there's things we can do to add life to the life we have. You know, there's so many things that we do to influence the kind of life that we're living. And God's word is full of admonition that if we would observe what he has told us to do, he would add life to the years that we spend here upon this earth. What a blessing that we have this privilege and this our wonderful God who loves us, who watches over us, who provides for us, that we can look to each day for the things we stand in need of. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he talks about how the Lord dealt with them in Canaan and how they were hungry and how they thirsted. And he said that they would know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Do you recognize that verse of scripture in the New Testament? Or do you remember where that is in the New Testament? When Satan tempted Jesus, when he fasted for 40 days, when he was hungry, would you be hungry after 40 days? Would you make it 40 days? You could if the Lord was in it. I'll tell you that. You could. Jesus did. Now, I understand Jesus is more than a man. I understand that one. But Elijah did it. And James told us he wasn't no superhuman. He was a man of like passions, like as we are. Okay? So Elijah did it. Moses did it. Now, Moses was highly revered, but he was just a man. He was just a man. And he did that. What I'm telling you is, if the Lord's with you, you could do it. I suspect that's why, by the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul would say, I can do all things. Because earlier in that chapter, he said, I have learned that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. All right? And then he went on to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, he's not talking about all things concerning your earthly goals and your pursuits here in this life. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what you need to do to honor him and serve him here in this life. He will honor that. He will bless that. He will strengthen you. He will help you in whatever you need to do to be faithful to him. Amen. So when he says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. When Satan tempted Jesus, he was weak. He was hungry. And Satan said, well, why don't you just command these stones to be made bread? Matthew 4, by the way. Why don't you just command these stones to be made bread? And that's when Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone. In other words, we have everything we need from the Lord. All the help we need can come from him. We don't need to listen to Satan in anything. Not one thing do we need to listen to Satan to about. Because everything we need to live and to enjoy life here on this earth, we can get from our God. And isn't that what Paul said to Timothy? All scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture given by inspiration, and it's profitable unto all good works. Anything we need to do in this life that's worthwhile, that's worthy, that's holy, that's wholesome, anything we need to do to be a help to others, bless your hearts, his word tells us how to go about it. So we need to avail ourselves to this word. We need to avail ourselves to know it. We need to be mindful to do it. We need to follow it. We need to walk in it. All the ways that his word tells us that we're to observe his word. By the way, I've told you a number of times, there's two times in the scriptures that we find the expression good for nothing. Once in Jeremiah, once in Matthew, and both times, the good for nothing is referring to someone who's rejected the word of God. They've become good for nothing. The salt that's lost its savor is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Salt. But wait a minute. Don't leave there without thinking about the fact he said, ye are the salt. And if the salt has lost its savor, do we influence? Well, we do. Let me say that. We do influence the lives of people around us. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. But we have an effect. And the Lord says, you're the salt of the earth. In other words, those who have been blessed of him to know him and to know his word, we have something in us that we can be a benefit and a seasoning influence to those around us. Are we doing that? Are we letting our light shine? Or has our salt lost its savor? All right? God gives us his word and teaches us what we ought to be doing to add life to the life that we have. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 11. Much the same thought. I won't take the time to read a lot of it, but Deuteronomy chapter 11, he speaks about observing to do the commandments that he gave us. Then he goes from that and to say and to teach your children when you go out and when you come in all the different aspects of our life, we're to be have that influence and that teaching of our children. And then he goes on from there, speaking of the benefits of that. Then if you go over to Deuteronomy 17, I don't know, I'm being scattered here, but Deuteronomy 17, the Lord speaks of a time when God's people would ask for a king. Remember that? But the Lord told them a long time ago, that day's coming. That day's coming when you're going to ask for a king. And he gave instruction for that king to take and make himself a copy of the law. And he was to keep it with him. And he was to read it day and night. And he was to meditate upon it. And that would be the guiding principles for him to reign as king. So he wouldn't be lifted up above so his heart wouldn't be lifted up above his brethren, but that he would reign in the way that he should to be a blessing to God's people. So the reason I jumped over to 17 is because he tells us to know it. He tells us to teach it to our children. And he said even the king is supposed to know this word and live according to it, that you'll be blessed. Oh, that our culture would understand this today. Don't you wish they would? Well, you know, there's a lot of folks in our culture that's not going to. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of folks in our culture who profess to be Christians that aren't blessed to see the truth. So what we're left with is, how about God's people? Are we observing it? Are we living according to it? Are we following it? Are we walking in it? If we are, we're going to be blessed. And we're going to be a blessing to those around us. And it's even good for our government. If they would observe and if they would legislate according to this word, we wouldn't be in a lot of the mess that we're in today, would we? Are you praying for our leaders? You know, I hesitate to call them leaders. Are you praying for our legislators? Those people that are in office? In the last couple of decades, I guess I've prayed more for those kind of things than I have in my whole lifetime. I'm past 60 now. And to think that in just the last few years, things have changed. So, you know, I remember my daddy used to say, I don't know what this world's coming to. You know, he's been gone 40 years now. I don't know what this world, if he were alive today, I'm sure he'd say the same thing. I don't know what this world's coming to. Well, we understand that that kind of an expression talks about, we don't know what level of evil we're going to be exposed to before the Lord comes back. But we certainly know that Jesus is coming back. And we know what this world's coming to in that sense, aren't we? We know that someday this world is going to melt with fervent heat. And the Lord's going to, before that happens, the Lord's going to take his people without one being left behind. I don't know how many people are so fearful today because they've read those fictional series of books about left behind and they're so worried. Bless your hearts, if we read the truth, if we're blessed to understand the truth, we understand not one of his are going to be left behind. Didn't Jesus say, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Hallelujah! We don't have to worry about our salvation being safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to take care of that. But all of God's word encourages and exhorts and reminds us to live and enjoy this life and add joy to your life while we live here. He's taking care of eternity. And so all those exhortations were to teach God's people to observe to do what God commanded. Now, when we come into the New Testament, I want to get a couple of passages you'll find in the book of Luke. Because Jesus addresses this idea of eternal life and the keeping of the law. So first of all, I want to go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Now, you know, those folks were trying to catch Jesus in his words. They didn't have a sincere interest in truth. They were just trying to catch him in words so they'd have something to accuse him. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What would you say? How would you answer that question? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Pardon? So would you say nothing? That doesn't matter. Just live your life the way you want to. You can't do anything about that. You know, sad to say, I've heard folks say that. There's primitive Baptists that say that. And for that reason, now, you know, yeah, I understand. But for that reason, when I was in college and working part-time in a hardware store, there was a man that, boy, he came by, I don't know how many times, trying to save me because his daddy was a primitive Baptist, and that's what he believed. Of course, he might have been a primitive Baptist, but he wasn't in, I never saw him at any churches I attended. What shall I do? That's the question. And you know, there's so many people asking that question today. And there's so many people in the realm of Christianity that's giving them an answer, telling them, you got to do this, you know, give them a recipe, you got to do this, you got to keep, you know, and you got to hold out faithful to the end. You know, and I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just saying that's a matter of fact, okay? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, how would Jesus answer that? You know, this side of Calvary, we could have said, well, Jesus, why didn't you tell him that you're going to go to the cross, that you're going to shed your precious blood, that you're going to save us and that we'll be secure in your blood? But he didn't go about making any reputation for himself. But I'm going to tell you the way he did answer, which obviously is the right answer, the best answer, for that moment in time. He gave an answer that you know is absolutely right. The absolute best. Here's what he said. What is written in the law? How readest thou? Now, that's two different questions. What's written in the law? In other words, do you know the word of God? And then he said, how readest thou? Now, that... how readest thou? We see a great variation in that, don't we? Okay. And he answering said, and by the way, he gave an excellent, excellent answer. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus answered or said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Well, the man's asking about eternal life. Do you mean he's telling him that he can have eternal life by doing this? Well, that's not exactly what he's saying. He's not saying that if you do this and based upon your performance of this, you'll have eternal. He's not saying that. He's saying this do and thou shalt live. Do you understand what he means? It'll help to understand this. Who can do that? Who's going to do that? Who's going to observe the word of God? Who's going to love God? Who's going to love the Lord with all his heart and soul and mind? Now, this is a convicting passage here, because I know myself. I know I don't love with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I come short. But I want to. I want to do that, don't you? But the natural man doesn't want to do that. As a matter of fact, the carnal mind is enmity with God. Folks that are seeking to satisfy their flesh, they don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to follow the word of God. They don't want to do what God says. God's taken away all their fun. They don't want to do that. So who's going to love God? That's right. His people, because, he said, we love him because he first loved us. And if he ever loved us, he still loves us. There may be things about our life that he doesn't love. There may be things that we do. There may be choices that we make that he doesn't love. But if he ever loved us, he still loves us today. Because the amazing thing about the grace of God is when he chose his people, we didn't even have our being. We hadn't done anything good or evil. Just like in Romans 9, it says that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. We hadn't done any of those things. We've done plenty since then, haven't we? Has God written us off? You know, I think everyone that's burdened down with his sins wonders, is there coming a day when the Lord's going to have enough? Now, that can happen as far as our fellowship with God. We can come to the place with poor choices and poor actions. We can come to the place where we can lose the joy of our salvation. And that's a miserable, I suspect it's a miserable place to be. This do, he said. Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Well, if he's not talking about earning eternal life, he must be talking about adding life to the life we have. If we are blessed to be one of his children, if we have a love for God, if we desire to seek the Lord with our heart and soul and mind, and love our neighbor and do things that are pleasing in God's sight, if we have that desire, it's because we are one of his. There's nothing we can do to affect eternal life, but there's plenty that we can do to affect this life. Just like the Old Testament said, right? It's the same truth. Do this do, and live. Live in the joy of your salvation. Live in the protecting hand of God. Live before him in a way that's pleasing in his sight. And there'll be blessings and blessings and blessings. That's Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke chapter 18. A very similar situation, but a different account. We're still in Luke, right? Luke didn't give us the same account and wording it differently. Luke chapter 18. By the way, it's verse 18. Luke 18:18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Wow, that sounds just like what the other man asked. But again, now this is different. This is a different situation. But he was still being asked the same question. All right, let's notice what he says here. A certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." Pause right there. None is good but God? Isn't Jesus good? Well, yeah, because he's God. He's God. All right? So when we think about, but also, Jesus went about, he made himself of no reputation. He was always shifting the glory to the Father. Even though he's God. Even though it's right that we honor him and call him good, he's given glory to the Father. Any good that we have in us is by the gracious gift of God. We have no goodness in ourselves. It's all of him. Good master, what what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 20, Jesus said, "Thou knowest the commandments." Remember the Ten Commandments? Remember there was two tables of stone. The first tablet had the commandments concerning worshiping God. So as I understand it, there was four on that one. And the other six was on the other tablet with reference to our dealings with one another. Oh, how many times I've wondered if we just throw out all the law books and just observe the Ten Commandments. I think we could get along just fine. Now, I understand there's regulations and all that. That's good. But this ought to be at the top of the list. Observing to do what he's commanded. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I thought there were 6 on that other commandment, on my other tablet. Right? Okay. Trust me, it is. And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Really? Have you? I really don't think he, you know, in the absolute sense, you know, he didn't either. But evidently, he had a sincere desire to try. You know, sincerity's good, but it's not what's absolutely required. I think down at Bethel the other day, I used Elder Robert Torrance's little illustration about sincerity. You know, some people will tell you, as long as you're sincere, that's all that matters. Elder Robert Torrance used to say, you know, that back when the people traveled on trains and the train would come in huffing and puffing into the train station and steam would be blowing out around the wheels, and this little old feist dog was there one time, and he went up there barking and barking and barking at that train, and he kept on barking until finally that train started huffing and puffing and left the station. And that little dog just came back prancing into the station thinking that he had chased off the train. He didn't chase the train away. Just because you're sincere doesn't mean that's all that's needed. But this young man was spoken of up until this point, or we're given the impression that he had done a good job of keeping the Word of God. And that's commendable, isn't it? It's not what gets us a home in heaven, but it is commendable for God's people to keep His Word and honor Him while we live here. Okay? And Jesus didn't take issue with those other five. And Jesus is speaking, and he's the young man said, "And all these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing." Here comes number six, by the way. "Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." What if that had been you? It's easy for us to look down our nose at him. How about you? What if Jesus told you, "Sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and come follow me"? That's how we need to read this. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye, okay? And me. I need to lay it to heart too. "Sell all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, and come follow me." If he told you to do that today, how many would be following him? Regardless of what's going on in your mind and heart right now, that's the word of God. Okay? And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful. Now, wait a minute. This man came to Jesus saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And here you give him one thing to do. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" How hardly. Now, I hope I've already covered and you understand already that wealth in this world has nothing to do with whether or not you're a child of God. But your attitude and how much importance you place upon the things of this world has everything to do with how much life you enjoy in the kingdom of God. This young man, instead of, I don't know if he was pondering in his mind how he could do that or whatever, but the fact that it says he went away sorrowful tells me he didn't intend to do what Jesus said. He went away sorrowful. This lesson should teach each of us. Well, let's just keep reading a little bit. Not only did he say, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" He says, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." I've heard a lot of discussion about a place over in the Bible lands. It's referred to as the needle's eye. That a passage, it was a narrow passage, or had a low gate, and a camel had to get down on its knees and but it was difficult, but he could get through. I've never felt like that was really what Jesus was saying. He says, A, needles, I. Now, they had some big needles. When they worked with their material, their tents and things like that and all that, they had big needles, but still, it wasn't that big for a camel to pass through the eye of it. Second reason why I don't believe that that illustration has any validity is because he says, they said, and when they heard it, said, who then can be saved? And he said, with the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things that are, what he had given them was an illustration that was an absolute impossibility with men. But with God, all things are possible. It's impossible for us to earn or inherit eternal life based upon our deeds, our trying to observe the law. It's impossible. But God provided a way, didn't he? And hallelujah, we're blessed to understand what that way is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I'm going to tell you something. That little passage right there that I just quoted out of John 14 has become so precious to me here in recent years, because there's so much that's being said in the world today about, as long as you're sincere and there's many paths that you can take to get to God, as long as you just observe one of them and all of that, then there's many ways to get to God. Well, listen, if you understand what I just quoted that Jesus said, you either believe that or you don't. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only by the blood of Jesus. Only through the righteousness that's imputed to us. Only because he took our sins upon him and bore them to the cross. That's the only way we can ever have eternal life. Oh, as we think about, Jesus said, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. See that? The Berean brethren in Acts chapter 17, when they went down to Berea, it said they were more noble than those of Thessalonica, because they searched the scriptures daily. They went home and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Think about how in the New Testament times, when somebody would be preaching the Word of God, not everybody had a Bible, did they? It wasn't a matter of just flipping over there and trying to find where the preacher is coming from. There was copies of the law on scrolls. And those who had the privilege of being able to read and had access to the scrolls, those brethren had to go home. They didn't carry those scrolls with them to meeting. They had to go home and they had to search the scriptures. And they did so daily to see if those things. And those brethren is spoken of as being more noble than those of Thessalonica. Even though Thessalonica, Paul just was so delighted with the joy and the work, the labor of love and the patience of hope and all that was going on at Thessalonica. Yet the Bereans were more noble because they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. Bless your hearts as we realize, even today, even though Jesus finished the work of redemption, there's still great value that can be added to our lives today by knowing and observing this word. There's such blessings that we can receive in reading the word of God, the comfort that we can receive as we face the challenges of each day. That's why Paul would say to the Colossian brethren, chapter 3, I'm going to turn to that. Colossians chapter 3. We like the 3:16s in the Bible, don't we? Well, how about Colossians 3:16? And there's a lot in this verse. I just want to get the first part of it. Okay? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I don't want to be a fool in this world, do you? I don't want to act foolishly. I don't want to make poor choices. I don't want to be ignorant of God's righteousness. See, I've grabbed several expressions throughout the scripture that these scriptures are thorough furnishers to us of all good works. And it will save us, won't it? Oh, wait a minute, preacher, make up your mind. You're talking about saving for eternally, and then you're talking about the scripture saving us. Isn't that where we started? Bless your hearts, we need to be saved every day. We need to be saved from the impulses of this flesh. We need to be saved from the people that we come into contact with that perhaps have ungodly thinking, and maybe they don't have the right thinking about the scriptures, and maybe their view of things is very different. And by the way, this idea of having to do something in order to be saved, you know, there's people that just absolutely hate and will get angry with you about the doctrines of grace. I'm amazed. And I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about people that love God. But you start talking about the truth of God, and folks can get angry with you. Nevertheless, this word is true. And what a privilege it is to be a part of the remnant who understands the truth of salvation by grace through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his choice of a people, by Jesus saving that people, by him coming back to raise that people from the dead. Oh, bless your hearts. What a joy it is. So he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom. This is the revealed will of God, and it's the wisdom of God. Jesus, I can't remember the address at the moment, but Jesus said on one occasion, thus saith the wisdom of God. He's talking about the scriptures. It was revealed. It was given to the prophets. The Holy Spirit moved those men of old to write the scriptures. It's not of man. It's not the thoughts of man. It's God's revealed will to us. And oh, how we need to avail ourselves to it and save ourselves from this untoward generation. Just like it was on the day of Pentecost, it's so much the same today. I don't know if it's any more. It's just as needful, at least today. Save yourselves. And when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he says, not as you have obeyed just in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is reverence to the word of God. Realizing that we come short with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If we have the desire to please him, it's because God has been merciful to us and put in us the will to do and to do of his good pleasure. I quoted 2 Timothy 3:16 earlier, but let me get the couple of verses ahead of that. 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou. Now I realize that Paul is writing to a preacher. But what Paul is telling Timothy to do is something that Timothy needs to be preaching to others. So it's something that all of us would benefit from. All right? Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We know foundationally, until he's given us his spirit, we can't receive it. There's no place for it in our heart. But once he has, and parents are taught in the scriptures to just teach their children. You can't make them a child of God, but when it pleases God to reveal himself to them, if you have taught them, at least, you know, the unregenerate has a memory. If you've taught them something, they can remember it. And so if that's what you've taught them while they're young and impressionable, bless your hearts, what a blessing it is. All right, you've done your responsibility. Continue thou in them. He says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Through faith. Faith is necessary, isn't it? If he's given us faith, we can receive it. We can rejoice in it. And then verse 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, well-rounded, capable of applying the word of God, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what we need to live. That's what we need to add life to the life we've given. Been given. And so, one more passage. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. You know, I covered a lot of passages in Deuteronomy because the Lord told them of the benefits of knowing, observing, hearkening, walking, following, observing to do the word of God. And Moses was the one that was used to write all those first books of the Bible. And by the way, do you remember the book of Genesis covers over half of human history? Isn't that amazing? That as long as this earth has been here, the first book of the Bible covers half of all of human history. That's an important book, isn't it? But we could go to the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. If you want to go five words, created. If you don't believe that, none of the rest of it is going to be of any use to you. If you don't believe the first five words of the Bible, because the only way you can believe that is through faith. Hebrews 11 talks about, we understand through faith, the worlds were framed through faith. Faith comes from God. If God's given us that, we have the faculties to embrace it. Without it, never will. Never will. All right. Maybe you found Revelation by now. Let me just read the first three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's not Revelations with an S. It's one of my pet peeves. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. This is the only book in all 66 books of the Bible where there's a blessing pronounced upon those who read it. And when you read it, there's a lot of symbolic language. There's a lot of things that are hard to be understood. But the message of the book is clear. Jesus wins. And so, just like in Hebrews 11:6, when the writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And one good example is what I just read to you. Blessed is he that readeth. There's a blessing promised there. And that blessing is not limited to the book of Revelation. That blessing applies to all scripture. There's blessings to be had. Now, it's specifically stated for the book of Revelation. But the blessings, there are blessings to be had. Jesus told the Jews, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And bless your hearts, the last book of this Bible, we find that he gives us the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's so much in the scriptures. There's so much for us to learn. And we're being church folks, we're acquainted with so much of the scripture. But you know, it's easy to forget, isn't it? There's so many principles. But bless your hearts, the more we avail ourselves, and just regularly, I'm not saying you have to read 40 chapters a day, but if you read some of the Word of God every day, it's been my experience that all of it stays with you better. Obviously, when you read more of it, there's more of it that you have available to think about and rejoice in. But there are blessings promised to God's people when they hear and understand and apply and observe to do what the Word of God commands us. May God help us to avail ourselves to those things and live. All right, that's the point of these scriptures, so that we can live, so that we can live a better life, so that we can live to more glory to God, so that we can let our light shine brighter, so that we can be a greater influence on those around about us, that we can be faithful to him and enjoy the fellowship of our God while we make our way through this sometimes cruel and unfriendly world. Isn't it worth it? Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, they are they which testify of me. Oh, how I love to read the scriptures and come across those passages, even if it's in the Old Testament, that points us ahead to Jesus. Because I've been blessed to understand that Jesus came to this world to save his people from their sins, and he did it. And what a joy it is to go back to the Old Testament, where hundreds of years before Jesus was born into this world, and God's telling us what he's going to do with his son. What a blessing that is. So search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They thought they had eternal life. We're blessed to know better, don't we? we're blessed to know the truth, the fullness of it. That yes, there's life to be obtained. There's more joy and enjoyment of the years that we have by observing the Word of God. But the more we search the Scriptures, the more we enjoy the life that we have now and look forward to the eternal life that we could do nothing to obtain. We've received it freely by His grace. The wages, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh, how we rejoice in the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures testify of Him. May God bless you is our prayer.